Stephen Jewell here.
Good day.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about simplifying your acquisition process. It seems like a silly little topic, but who doesn't want stuff to be more simple?
I agree. I want to have more of a conversation. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'm just kind of changing it up right now.
Sure.
We talked about that. So
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, who does not want things even more simple? I agree.
Before we get into the topic, and before I make a butthead out of myself talking about marriage and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
All right. James asks, I'm thinking of buying a few 40-acre parcels surrounded by BLM land. I went to check out the properties. There's dirt paths that lead to them, but there are signs that say no motorized vehicles. Has anyone tried to get permission from the BLM to drive over these trails? Not sure if I would offer should offer a really low price for these or just not even do the deal.
Okay, so this is a great question. It's something I've run into personally, not super, super recently, but I've also talked to some of the advanced members, the Advanced Land Academy members, and they've run into it also. And this is for sure an attribute to this property. It's not a bad thing.
Right.
It makes the properties that you're looking at incredibly unique. So on the onset of it, especially if you're brand new at this, you're like, wait a minute, I can't take a car into my property. As Jill knows, and most of the, you know, if you've done a few deals and or have some experience, there's people that want to buy rural vacant land to just get away from it all.
Right.
In the craziest possible way. And the more creative you are about satisfying what they want from a customer standpoint, right, the more successful you're going to be. What you need to do, though, is contact the BLM to get, like, a 100-year ingress egress rights. Hopefully the person before you, the seller, has done that. And we all know working with the government's pretty tough and frustrating, but I'll tell you my personal experience with getting a leased easement. I'm not exactly sure what I think it's just ingress egress, leased ingress egress, is ridiculously simple with the BLM and very cheap. It's like you can get like a 99-year lease.
Okay, so I have a couple things to say.
Jill's just
I'm just letting you go. And then I want to say,
when do you not let me?
I know, I always just let you go. Let him go.
Eventually he'll be done.
Exactly. Okay, that's all beautiful, Steven. That's the legal way to do it. I have a couple things to say. First of all, while you're just checking out the property, isn't it all a lot easier to ask for forgiveness instead of permission?
Yeah.
So I would.
You know what? That's a reality.
I really want to draw some attention to the fact that I'm even out there in the beginning? Heck no. Am I going to sneak out there and do what I need to do? Yeah, just to check it out? Oh, yes, all day.
Yeah.
I'll drive right past that sign. So,
well,
no one knows that.
It's a little two-track trail.
Right. Whatever. Like, are we talking about on a motorcycle? Are we saying?
I don't know. You know what? Jill's right.
I mean, let's.
Now that I'm thinking about this. Go ahead.
So,
it's your turn to just go off.
Okay, thank you. I'm a fan of, who's going to know, unless you draw attention to it. Let's not draw attention to it.
Yeah, don't build a skyscraper out there.
You know, we've sold many properties in, like, you know, big properties in West Texas. And I've had this conversation with many buyers, which is, you know, kind of a version of, look, if you're not going to put a casino on there, is anyone really going to know what's going on? You know, and be legal, obviously, but, you know, let's, you know, don't abuse it. But, you know, you could probably do a lot on and be under the radar, kind of thing. So I look at it like that. So while you're checking out the property, don't think about it too much. And then that goes back to, seriously, we go back and forth with this ourselves. Am I right?
We go back and forth, Jill and I, constantly, especially recently on these deals.
Yeah, we have constantly been going, wait a minute, why are we looking into this much? This has never been our core thing. And this is why we have bought and sold properties that are probably worth way more than we sold them for, because we didn't look into them that much. And guess what? We didn't care, and our buyer won.
Yeah.
So don't spend too much time on it.
Price, like the T here, as he says,
I would not
really,
go get
really
this
low
ingress,
price for these
egress
properties.
Thing. I might, if I know something about it, I might pass it on to the buyer and go, look, I did 5 minutes of research. Here's what's possible. Here's the phone number. This is where I left it. I wish you all the best. It sounds like it's possible. And then again, I'm pricing it this way because I'm not doing that work.
I mean, I would celebrate the fact that this has adjacent BLM land. I would celebrate that in the title.
Great.
You know, everybody loves to buy have that house at the end of the block that's on the back of, like, you know, a golf course or federal land or land that's not going to be developed.
Right.
And that's what you have here.
Right.
So this is a celebration situation, and it's even better if you got a really low price.
Exactly. That and again, I like that. Tell them. I use this all the time. It's priced this way because I'm not doing X. If you want me to go do X, I sure can. But now the price is going to change because that's going to entail me to do a whole lot of work. Exactly. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
And every time I tell a buyer that, they go, oh, never mind, got it. Like, if you really want me to go and hire the guy to go out and walk it and survey it and put the pretty stakes in the ground, I sure can.
The pretty stakes?
Yes.
The pretty orange stakes?
Yes, exactly.
You know, I asked somebody recently on that topic. You'd think, this is the 21st century. With all the technology, I asked a very credible source, like, is there some type of Google Earth version of getting a survey? We can stop this, you know, site visit, take 3 days to get out there, put stakes in the pretty stakes in the ground?
Right.
The answer is no.
Right.
Still have to do a survey out there.
I mean, we can do pretty, it depends on what you're going to do for. For your buying and selling purposes, you know, if a guy just wants to really kind of know where his line is,
yeah,
and it's 40 acres, so we're not going to, like, accidentally get on the neighbor, so it's not that big of a deal. He could walk it himself. We, you know, in personal fact, we have all the GPS coordinates, so I could pretty much stand there and know I'm in the right spot.
Yeah, I mean, we're way off topic here.
I know.
Surveys, that's if you're going to build something.
Right. But that goes the same with this BLM thing. Don't go too far.
Surveys are always incident-driven. You don't want to ever, in my opinion, just say, hey, you know, I'm going to go survey this property. It's just, you know, you want to do it if a lender's asking you to do it. If somebody, like, there's a builder that's involved that wants to, you know, see if they can put a subdivision out there. It's not just something that you do for fun. Oh, there's my lot line. Got it.
Exactly. All right.
Next topic. This is one before the show says, look, we got to keep these shows moving. There's too much go back and forth talking. Now we're 8 minutes into the show. We're about to actually do it.
Well, then I'll do a 3-minute show.
Today's topic, simplifying your acquisition process. This is the meat of the show. This is not a long topic for me. I love simplifying stuff. I think most guys do. And I'm not sitting around saying women want to complicate things. I'm just saying everybody loves simplification. Actually, Jill, honestly, all kidding aside, that's one of the things I love about you.
Thank you.
That's very different from you than a lot of people I've known, male or female.
Thank you.
You are all about
get it done.
Get it done on time. Make sure it's done right the first time. That's a big thing with you.
It is a big thing with me.
Get it through fast. Get it done fast, and then let's go have a drink.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly
how I am. I don't need to think about it, feel it, love on it. Celebrate it. I'll celebrate the bank account, and I celebrate that stuff. But.
So this was the root of this topic came out of me working with a developer to create an incredibly efficient, brand new, 21st century version of our CRM. So we've been using an old SQL version that I had developed a long time ago. I spent $250,000 on it.
2005 or something?
Yeah, technically that is 21st century. But anyway, we're updating the whole thing in Airtable to be used and beat up and abused by our acquisition staff and sales staff. So then we can perfect it and create an additional SQL version and then probably distribute it for Land Academy members, some version of that. I'm not sure how it's going to go yet. So these topics this week, this is acquisition week. These topics this week came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And because the developer that I was working with, you know, as always, or that I am working with, she's on staff with us, we got our lines, signals crossed a little bit, and she created this incredibly complicated, like 92-step acquisition process, because I think it was just, you know, she interviewed me and said, well, when you buy a piece of real estate, you got to do this. So every single one of those tiny little things in the due diligence step became like a status.
Yeah.
When in fact, there's really like 5 statuses in the whole thing.
Exactly.
So don't get caught up in that engineering left brain, you know, I sit down at my desk. Oh, that's a new status. I turn on my computer. Oh, that's a new status.
get coffee, that's a status.
So I know you wrote some stuff down, Joe. What would you say to somebody who's trying to simplify their acquisition process?
Well, I was going to say, it can be overwhelming in the beginning. You know, we joke about it, but it's true. We make it look easy. We really do. And there are a lot of steps. And where I was coming at it is when I talk to people and they're like, whoa, you know, they just, I want to be an investor. Okay, now I got to buy a property. And then I got to market property. I got to sell property. You know, then they really go, there's a lot that goes into this. Yeah, there really is. So just talking about the acquisition process, it seems like a lot, but it's not that bad. When you really just sit down and talk about the process and the steps. So I was thinking, like, mail it down or break it down into real basic steps. So acquisition involves, you know, really picking a county, sending out the mail, buying the property, recording the property, because that's acquisition. I own it. We can forget about the rest right now. So then what I always think of too, you can wrap your head around that. Then break it down even further. What's going to go into picking the county? It's probably 10 things, maybe. And then getting the mail out, and then picking the properties, and doing your due diligence, and buying the properties. Think about all these different steps. So I'm trying to just kind of get you thinking about it and get you practices to making your own, basically your SOP, your standard operating procedures. That's what you should be doing when you're new, as far as simplifying it. And as you do this and make these steps, you're going to make your own procedures, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to have your own, hopefully, training videos and outline when you're done, so you can train the next guy. Because hopefully, when you come up from all this and you decide, you know what, I want this to be my business now. Now I've done 10, 20 deals. I know what I'm doing. Now I have a whole process down. Now I'm going to put somebody in place for the parts that I'm not needed, or I don't like, or I'm not good at, kind of thing. Or you're sick of, right.
In my case.
Exactly. And then later on, you'll do like what we're doing. Then you get it into a whole big system. Like, we use Airtable, some people use Jura. I know there's other products out there that work. There's no one fits all, one program fits all. Just whatever it sings to you, whatever you get, you know, you can customize and make your own that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
So some people use spreadsheets forever. You know, they're not doing that many deals and it works for them, and that's okay.
Of course, this is all covered in an incredible amount of detail in our education programs, but here's the overview. And I broke it down into five numbers. Number one is acquisitions. Number one is pre-acquisition, like the mail process and all of that. Number two is actual acquisition process.
New opportunity is what we call it.
Mm-hmm.
So number one is the pre-acquisition. Number two is actually new opportunity.
Yeah. New opportunity means, hey, this person responded, and we really need to look at this as a potential candidate, right?
Exactly.
That's number two.
Three, I have to think about this.
Three is
the acquisition, isn't it?
Purchasing it.
Yeah.
Yes, that's just correct. Three is going through the actual acquisition process. Every deal is different. Sometimes you want to buy them just by doing a deed and do what we call a notary close. Sometimes you want to go through title. If it's houses, you want to go through title in every single deal. Mm-hmm. Four is sales, mm-hmm. the actual sales process. You know, engineering and sales.
Six is completed, or five is completed sale.
You know what, now that I'm thinking about it, three is engineering.
We're getting them all mixed up.
So,
let's go.
Number one is pre-acquisition, like the mail. Number two is the actual acquisition process, purchasing the property.
That's true.
Number three is engineering or marketing.
Right.
We use those terms interchangeably internally. Number four is sales. Number five is
completed sale.
And then six is canceled. And so you always want to keep track of the canceled sales. What you'll find is that for a lot of reasons, just transactions don't work. Sometimes the people who are on the deed are deceased and you're talking with their children and there's a bunch of stuff that's got to go on before we can actually do it. And we deem that it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Sometimes the seller changes their mind. We change our mind. We look at the property. We're like, but you don't want to throw it away.
Taxes too high.
So we assign a completed sale or canceled sale,
Mm-hmm.
And every couple of years we go back in there. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of properties because things change.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we take on a paralegal or something that can undo some of these legal issues really easily for us. That's actually happening now. So now we're reviewing all these these canceled sales that we've had for years and creating deals out of them.
Right.
So those are the real, those are the five.
Those really are like five. Our whole big process.
Yeah. And then there's little sub-steps in there. Again,
that's what we're talking about right now.
It's beyond the scope of this form, you know, audio, video form.
Right. There. Well, that was my whole point of this whole thing was those sub-steps. To simplify your acquisition process, think about the big steps, break them down into sub-steps, break them down even further. Next thing you know, you have a manual and you're on your way.
That's
and
it.
And you have a process. And you tweak it for a while. You might go, oh, I need to move that before that because I missed it here. Oops, I forgot one. I got to throw that in. I forgot to check taxes. I forgot to check this. Yeah. Whatever it is. You'll tweak it a little bit. And after 10 or 20, you got it down. And it's not that bad.
You good?
Yeah.
We know your time's valuable. Thanks for spending some of it with us today. Join us next time for the episode called How to Get Over the Fear of Buying Property.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community found at landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. I love talking about acquisitions. I mean it.
Me too.
That's what this is all about.
I know. You're cute. Wherever you're watching, wherever you are listening, please subscribe and rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.